It probably comes as no surprise to you that that the readings that you've heard tonight have come from the Bible. We've been guided through this Christmas season by our Bibles, readings from the Bible related to the Christmas story, the coming of Jesus, and then also guided by our Advent devotional booklets. It's not too late. There's a few booklets available on the far side of the foyer out there. You can still grab one, and there's two more days left of readings that you can grab a hold of for today and tomorrow if you want. And you may want to go back and look at some of the ones before. But these are free for you if you'd like to grab one, as long as they last out there. But we've been guided by this booklet as well. And we've been talking over this last month about adventures and quests. That's been kind of the headline over our messages during the Advent season. And we've been talking about the difference between adventures and quests. And let me just read from the beginning of our Advent devotionals, the little intro that I wrote. It says this, among other things: "It has been said that an adventure is an exciting thing you choose. You go and have your adventure with all its thrills and it spices up your life, and then you come home again and you pick up things where you left off. It is a there and back again sort of thing. A quest, on the other hand, is quite different. It is not something you choose, it chooses you. And you never really come back from it. You either die for the quest, or if you do come back, you are so changed that you cannot simply pick things up where you left off. You have been changed radically. Returning to what was your normal life is no longer an option. You have become, in a very real sense, a new person." Would you pray with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to each one of us here tonight in whatever way it is that we need to hear from you here. As it looks like the rain is starting to turn to snow out there, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. We ask that you would bless us with your word, that you would continue your work of transforming us, of changing us into the people that you have made us to be, for your glory and for our benefit. And I pray all these things in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, once again, it probably isn't going to surprise anybody to know that the readings that you heard tonight all came from the Bible. And as we conclude our adventure versus quest messages for Advent, let me just point this out. The Bible is not supposed to be an adventure book, like a good novel that you read and it's interesting and it's thrilling, and then you go back to life pretty much unchanged by everything that you've read or everything that the Bible has to say. The Bible is really supposed to be more a quest sort of book. Open its pages if you dare, and prepare to become a different person. Prepare to be changed. Well, we're going to dare. We have dared to open up our Bibles here tonight, and let me just share a couple of thoughts. Guided by our Bibles and our 2018 Advent devotionals, so far during the Christmas season, we've looked at Christmas uncertainties, Christmas impossibilities, Christmas inconsistencies, and Christmas unrealities. And tonight, I'd like us for just a moment or two to consider Christmas unspectacularities. Now, that isn't a real word. I made it up. But you get what it means, right? Christmas unspectacularities. Yes, there are some amazing occurrences that we remember and celebrate at Christmas. There was a guiding star that was unusual. There were angels singing in the sky. That doesn't happen every night. A virgin mother, a baby who is God. But when we consider the enormity of the almighty and omnipotent God of all creation, his arrival was quite unspectacular. I mean, a handful of astrologers traveled from far away from the east to see him. And they're famous now. But then, nobody paid them much attention, it seems. Herod dishonestly asked them to help him find this would-be king so he could go and kill him. But he didn't go or send any of his servants at that time. Apparently, this quiet arrival wasn't worth anything like that. And where were the heads of state? Where were the crowds of people like we see at St. Peter's Square when we elect a new pope? Or lining the streets of New York when the Yankees win the series? or in department stores on Black Friday. A few local shepherds hardly makes this original Christmas event anything like spectacular. Where was the lightning across the solar system? The tidal wave stopping in a wall next to Bethlehem? The voice calling out loud above every city and village, "I have arrived. Go to Bethlehem and see for yourselves." And why Bethlehem? Really? There were at least four Bethlehems in that general area at that time, and none of them amounted to much. That is why they have to add the title Ephrathah, which you never one stumbles over. I don't even know if that's how you're supposed to pronounce it. Yeah, right. You read that one. Yeah, that's why they have to throw this Ephrathah in there when they talk about Bethlehem in the Bible reading, because it's distinguishing it from the other three or more Bethlehems that were around that region. And it's an insignificant little watering hole for shepherds and their sheep. Why not Jerusalem or Antioch or Rome? Or wait a few years and show up in Times Square, New York on New Year's Eve? What do we have instead of something truly spectacular? Something rivaling what Hollywood and all its CG artists and special effects wizards could cook up? A baby. How normal. How ordinary. How basic human life-ish. Yes, it's the one and only Son of God, but who would know by looking at him? Even the prophet Isaiah, predicting his arrival, was sure to point out that he would have, quote, "no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him." A baby in a stable, in a manger, a feed trough for cattle. The weakness of this appearance is astounding. Is that really God Almighty laying there in such mean a state where ox and ass are feeding? Now, if I were God Almighty, I think I would have done things differently. Wouldn't you? I wouldn't show up as a weak little baby, ignored by almost anybody. Nope. I'd come as a gigantic red dragon sweeping a third of the stars out of the sky. Ignore that, humanity. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, wait. Actually, the Bible tells us that there is one who appears like that. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. And it's not God. In fact, it is his and our great and evil adversary. So maybe it's a good thing that I'm not the Almighty. It seems that God has a different value system than we do. He seems less interested in spectacularities. Or maybe it's that what we consider spectacular doesn't do much for him. What might he be trying to tell us by all these Christmas unspectacularities? Well, there's much I think we could say about this, but let me simply offer one idea for us tonight. Here it is. God is more interested in effects than in appearances. More interested in effects than appearances. Spectacular appearances don't always make for spectacular effects. How many spectacular, sable-rattling, awe-inspiring, fear-inducing parades and demonstrations did Herod the Great, the ruler, the king in the region where Jesus was born, produce and present in his years of power? Do you remember any? Oh, I know there's that episode where he sends soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all of those frightening, threatening little babies under 2 years old. But we only remember that because it's attached to the story of Jesus' birth. All the all-out efforts of all the most powerful men and women in history, all their attempts at spectacular shows of their spectacular power, palaces, fortresses, armies, and weapons collected and displayed, brutal devastations of weak opponents and weaker bystanders, territories conquered and claimed. Any of their kingdoms last? Any of them able to pass on an unassailable and never-ending reign? Ever? Note, spectacular appearances and experiences with little or no lasting effects are what Christmas adventures are all about. Spectacular appearances to no real or lasting effect. But as we have been discovering this year in our Advent season, Christmas is more about the life-changing quest than the safe annual adventure. Spectacular appearances don't always make for spectacular effects, and conversely, unspectacular appearances can lead to some very spectacular effects. Here we are, 2,000 years later, talking about that baby in that manger and calling him the King of Kings and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And there are more people here tonight, right now, in a house that we say belongs to him than were there in Bethlehem at that borrowed stable to welcome him into our world. And what we do here tonight is being duplicated in countless other similar houses of worship all around the world. Unspectacular appearance, spectacular effect. God is amazing. God, it seems, by his mode of arrival 2,000 years ago, is less interested in us being impressed by him and more interested in us knowing him. Oh, anyone who comes to know God truly will certainly be overwhelmingly impressed and shower him with praise. Joanne Dixon, in her devotional for us for today, the 24th of December, reminds us of this when she says, "Praising and glorifying God are the responses of the shepherds and should be our response also." But getting there is a challenge for broken people like us. So, God wants us to know, it seems, that though he oversees and wields the forces of the entire universe, he loves us. And he loves us intimately. God wants us to know, it seems, that because he loves us, he will come all the way to us. He will become like us that we might behold him and hear him and embrace him and know him. God wants us to know, it seems, that that little baby in the manger is he himself, God the Son, and that he has come to die for us so that all that keeps us from him, all our sin and foolishness and our bondage to death, will be done away with forever. God has come in such an unspectacular appearance to reveal and to accomplish his desired effect of bringing us back into his love and life now and forever. And that, my friends, is spectacular. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again for your love for us, for this wonderful season of Christmas, for this wonderful time of sharing with family, and this wonderful time of gathering in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless us through this season, that tomorrow will be a day full of joy and hope and love and blessing for each one of us. And that you would be pleased with what we're doing here tonight, but also what we do throughout this week in this special time. And Lord, I pray once again that you would help us to catch that vision that we need to have, that will invite us in and compel us into your quest, and not just to have another seasonal adventure. Lord, that we might join you in your quest to bring your life and love and wholeness and health and hope to everyone, to all of your people. And we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen.